ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड मोहिनी मूर्ति बिविल्डर्स लॉर्ड शिवा। चैप्टर 12 टेक्स्ट 8 टेक्स्ट 7 यस। त्वं ब्रह्मपूर्ण विगुणं विशोकम् आनंदमात्रम विकारम् अनन्यतन्यत् विश्वस्य हेतुरुदय स्थिति संयमानाम् आत्मेश्वरश्च तत् अपेक्षत यानपेक्षा Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Translation. My Lord, You are the Supreme Brahma, complete in everything. Being completely spiritual, You are eternal, free from the material modes of nature, and full of transcendental bliss. Indeed, for you there is no question of lamentation. Since you are the supreme cause, the cause of all causes, nothing can exist without you. Yet we are different from you in a relationship of cause and effect. For in one sense, the cause and effect are different. You are the original cause of creation, maintenance, manifestation and annihilation, and you bestow benedictions upon all living entities. Everyone depends upon you for the results of his activities, but you are always independent. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani nachaham teshavastita. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. This explains the philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference known as achintya bheda abheda. Everything is a Supreme Brahma, the personality of Godhead, yet the Supreme Person is differently situated from everything. Indeed, because the Lord is differently situated from everything material, He is the Supreme Brahma, the Supreme Cause, the Supreme Controller. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. The Lord is the supreme cause and His form has nothing to do with the material modes of nature. The devotee prays, As your devotee is completely free from all desires, your Lordship is also completely free from desires. You are fully independent. Although all living entities engage in your service, you do not depend on the service of anyone. Although this material world is created complete by you, everything depends on your sanction. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Matta Smitir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. Remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness come from you. Nothing can be done independently. Yet you act independently of the service rendered by your servants. The living entities depend on your mercy for liberation. But when you want to give them liberation, you do not depend upon anyone else. Indeed, by your causeless mercy, you can give liberation to anyone. Those who receive your mercy are called Kripa Siddha. To reach the platform of perfection takes many, many lives. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyate. Nonetheless, even without undergoing severe austerities, one can attain perfection by your mercy. Devotional service should be unmotivated and free from impediments. This is the position of nir ashisha, or freedom from expectations for results. A pure devotee continuously offers transcendental loving service to you, but you may nonetheless offer mercy to anyone without depending on his service. Hare Krishna. Before attempting to speak, I would like to beg for the blessings for all the assembled Vaishnavas. Especially because I have been told to give class at a short notice. So definitely need the blessings. So, Tvam Brahma Puranam Amritam Vigunam Vishokam Anandamatram Avikaram Ananyadanyat Vishvasya Heturudayasthiti Samyamanam Atmeshwarastadapekshata Yanapeksham. These wonderful prayers of Bhagavatam by different sages, by Lord Shiva, by all our, these wonderful prayers very nicely give us a glimpse into the understanding of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sistvam Brahma, your Lordship, you are the all-pervading absolute truth. Each word explaining in the whole verse, if you see, is giving us a glimpse into the understanding of what is the nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Because while practicing Krishna consciousness or while developing relationship with Krishna, or while developing any relationship, one understands the relation based on his preconceived notions, preconceived ideas. And therefore, in material world, when we develop relationships with someone on any level, we have our preconceived ideas or notions on what that personality is supposed to be or what I am supposed to expect from that relationship. And therefore, coming to Krishna consciousness also, one may be having some preconceived notions or ideas what dharma is all about. Or what is the nature of Supreme Absolute Truth? Or who Supreme Personality of Godhead is? And therefore, Bhagavatam, right in the beginning, makes it very clear. Dharma projita kaitavatra paramo nirmat saranam satam. It rejects all the false conceptions of what pure dharma is, what paradharma is. And right in the beginning, these things are made very clear what dharma is. Sabe pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaituki apratihata yatma suprasidati. Sabe pumsam paro dharmo. That is the supreme religion by which ahaituki apratihata, which generates or which leads to, which motivates unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in practicing that devotional service, one needs to understand the nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. And therefore, one needs to go through these prayers, these beautiful sections, very, very carefully and very scrutinizingly, making sure that one is not practicing his rituals and sadhana on a wrong basis or a wrong foundation. So, one of many prayers, this is one of the prayers which is describing the nature of the Lord. My Lord, you are the Supreme Brahma, complete in everything. Being completely spiritual, you are eternal, free from the material modes of nature and full of transcendental bliss. Indeed, for you there is no question of lamentation. So Sri Prabhupada, in the beginning of the purport, he brings out this verse, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyaktam murtina matsthani sarvabhutani nachaham tesha vastita. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. This explains the philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference, known as achintya bhed abhed tatva. So we understand how everything is coming from Supreme Personality. He is the origin of everything. He is the foundational cause of everything. He is the cause of producing effect also apparently. But still, he places himself aloof from the material nature and he says, I am aloof. Tacha ham teshu avasthita. This kind of understanding is difficult for a conditioned soul to digest. That how Lord claims to be the supreme controller, to be involved in every minute aspect of this creation. Like we say, even a blade of grass does not move without the will of the Supreme Lord. And then very expertly, very smartly, he says, Nachaham teshu avasthita. I am not in them. They are in me, I am not in them. Everything is dependent on me. So making all these claims is very difficult for a conditioned soul to digest. Even Arjun in Bhagavad Gita took a long time to understand this whole philosophy when Lord is trying to explain. Because the conditioned soul expects the Lord to behave, to fulfill his desires. Like in the first chapter, Arjuna calls Krishna as Govinda. He says, you are supposed to satisfy my senses. Right? Basically, that's what he means by saying Govinda. You are supposed to be given the pleasure to the senses. Without understanding what is the meaning of Govinda, how Govinda is transcendental and aloof from this material world. So one himself is implicated in this material world and one implicates Supreme Lord also in the material world, thinking that Lord is also one of the normal living beings like anyone else. So here he is telling, you are Govinda, your name is Govinda, you are famous as Govinda, you are also supposed to satisfy my senses. And then Lord is telling him to fight. So he might be wondering that maybe Krishna has some personal motives. And Krishna makes it very clear in the fourth chapter also, Chaturvarne Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha Tasya Kartaram Api Mam. Although I am the cause of, I am the creator, but still I am the non-doer. I just facilitate your will, but I am the non-doer. Similarly here also, Nacha Tham Teshu Vasta Matsthani Sarva Bhutani. Everything rests on me, everything is dependent on me, but still I am aloof. This kind of relationship is something very new for the conditioned soul. Here further he says, he is the supreme Brahma, the supreme cause, the supreme controller. The Lord is the supreme cause and his form has nothing to do with the material modes of nature. I was reading one statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the chapter on the glories of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, where it is said that how the forms of the Lord are absolutely transcendental in nature. But a conditioned soul tries to bring the conception of Supreme Absolute Truth to his understanding. And as a result, he thinks that the Supreme Lord is free from, is impotent. He has no potences. He is not as powerful as scriptures proclaim. And Prabhupada writes a beautiful statement there. He says, trying to conceive the inconceivable, something, I'm just paraphrasing, I don't remember exactly, but something like that. He says, trying to conceive or trying to understand by their mental speculation is the profession of conditioned souls. And then he says, this profession of conditioned souls is the biggest rascaldom. He says like that. So he says, this is the profession of conditioned souls, trying to conceive the inconceivable. And then he says, in the purport here, you are fully independent. Although all living entities engage in your service, you do not depend on the service of anyone. So this is another interesting point. Just imagine if you are serving someone and that person doesn't claim any gratitude. In one sense, he says, okay, you know, I do not depend on your service and you are serving. If many times it's difficult to conceive in 10th canto when Krishna leaves Vrindavan and walks out, so it appears all the thing that how rude and how rough Krishna's dealings are. Very difficult to conceive. He doesn't depend. Generally, the conception is in this world when we want to serve someone, we expect some reciprocation. Somebody says, I need you. I depend on you. And if somebody says, you are serving for yourself. I mean, I don't need you. I have not told you to serve. That's a highly frustrating experience. Like somebody was telling me a nice thing. He said he was preached by someone. So somebody preached to him and took a lot of interest in his life. And preaching, always caring for him, asking every small need. And then when the person became matured, then the same preacher was preaching to someone else and taking interest in his life. And then taking interest in someone else's life. So this old devotee who was preached to, he was thinking, I thought that I am very important for this person. But it appears that I do not hold any importance. He is just busy with his own service to Krishna. And I just came as, I just happened to be somewhere caught up in that service. So his ego got frustrated completely. He was getting so heartbroken that I thought this person needs me. But now I am realizing I need him the most. And he doesn't need me in one sense. He is busy with his service to Krishna. So such kind of relationships, when you feel that somebody needs you and the person feels, it's up to you. You want to take Krishna consciousness, it's for your benefit. So that kind of relationship is a very frustrating experience. So here also, he's saying, you are fully, although all living entities engage in your service, you do not depend on the service of anyone. Although this material world is created complete by you, everything depends on your sanction. As written in Bhagavad Gita, Matta Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha, remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness come from you. Nothing can be done independently, yet you act independently of the service rendered by your servants. So we have such verses which indicate the supreme controllership of the Lord, and then we have the verses which indicate the highest level of intimacy offered by the Lord. On one side, Lord is impartial, and on one side we have, what is that verse? Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyasti na priya. What is that? Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mai teteshu chahapyam. So although he proclaims his impartial nature, but he takes special interest in his devotees. So again, very inconceivable. One place you say impartial, one place you say you take special interest in the devotees. The living entities depend on your mercy for liberation. Now yesterday, or just 2 days back, we were doing our Bhakti Vaibhav studies and we were discussing one line which says that devotional service is free. This is complete freedom. Bhakti has the rights of complete freedom. Bhakti may not develop in a person even after following all the detailed formulas. The statement was like that. The devotional service may not develop after following all detailed formulas. Isn't it a frustrating statement? All the detailed formulas, you do everything, pakka, you are so careful, still bhakti may not develop. So devotional service is free. And then another statement was there, association of devotees is also free. One may or may not get after many, 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 many births. So one cannot access by his own freedom. It has to come by the mercy. Another statement I was reading, bhakti can only come from the heart of a pure devotee to you. You cannot access by your own rituals and by your own strength. Even we were discussing the Narad Muni's episode a few days back, and there Narad Muni lost the darshan of the Supreme Lord. Then Narad Muni is trying to see the Supreme Lord by his own endeavors. And Prabhupada writes, there is no mechanical process, only causeless mercy of the Lord. So like that, just reflecting on few statements, and then it says, the living entities depend on your mercy for liberation, but when you want to give them liberation, you do not depend on anyone else. Indeed, by your causeless mercy, you can give liberation to anyone. This is another interesting thing. We hear so many stories, the people who follow the most perfectly all the principles, the mercy is withdrawn from them. And from external standards, the person who is most fallen gets all the mercy. It's so difficult to conceive. Sometimes, this is also, this comparative mentality come, you know. At least I experience, you know, sometimes in devotee circles. Somebody who apparently doesn't seem to follow any standard is getting all the mercy. And somebody who is so pakka and he is not, apparently he is bereft of some mercy. He is still struggling. So here it says, those who receive your mercy are called Kripa Siddha. To reach the platform of perfection takes many, many lives. Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavan Mam Prapadante. Nonetheless, even without undergoing severe austerities, this is interesting. To reach the platform, it takes many, many lives. Nonetheless, One can at even without undergoing severe austerities, one can attain perfection by your mercy. So one line makes it so difficult and one line makes it so easily accessible. And then it says, devotional service should be unmotivated and free from impediments. Ahaituki apratihata yatma supasita. This is the position of nirashisha, a freedom from expectations for results. A pure devotee continuously offers transcendental loving service to you, but you may nonetheless offer mercy to anyone without depending on his service. A pure devotee continuously offers transcendental loving service to you, but you may nonetheless offer mercy to anyone without depending on his service. So, almost I read the whole purport again. But the interesting point, what clicks to me is that how insignificant is the position of a living entity trying to access the mercy of such an inconceivable Lord. If you have to develop relationship with some mundane person, you understand this person likes these activities. If I do this, I get his blessings. But here is a Supreme Lord who is so highly inconceivable, and you are trying to approach a relationship with him, and you are trying to chant his holy names, and you are trying to develop relationship with the holy name, with the deity form, with the Bhagavatam. So highly inconceivable person, we are trying to conceive and develop relationship. So only thing which it points out to is how insignificant and how small a living entity can be. Is what can be. And how difficult it is to conceive the Supreme Lord by this mundane intelligence. As this conception of pure devotional service is given, it is discussed, we were discussing last time, even Vyasadev missed the clue to achieve full satisfaction. Or what is the right thing which I am supposed to offer in the scriptures? So this concept of pure devotional service is so difficult to approach that anybody with ordinary intellect or mind or intelligence tend to miss the clue. He always tends to miss the clue. And this is so amazing. The first verse of Shikshashtakam says, Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam sheha kairav chandrika vitaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamritasvadanam sarvatma snaparam param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan. One after another. Param vijayate. All glories to the Krishna Sankirtan. Cheto darpanam marjanam. Cleanses the mirror of heart. Bhava Maha extinguishes the forest fire of material existence. There are seven benedictions given. Seven benedictions. And even after hearing all the benedictions of the holy name, the next verse says, Namna Makari Bahuda Nij Sarva Shaktis. He says, after hearing that the name is invested with all the potencies of the Supreme Lord personally, non-different from the Lord, Durdaivam Idrisham Ihajani Nanu Raga. What approach is there to that inaccessible, inconceivable Lord? It's so difficult to approach. Durdaivam Idrisham Ihajani Nanu Raga. And trying to understand or conceive that holy name, trying to conceive the Supreme Lord and trying to develop that, as Bhagavatam says, most congenial form of intimacy. Isn't it? Everybody is looking for an intimate relationship. And most people are getting frustrated because there is no relationship in the material world which can offer that intimacy. So Bhagavatam says most congenial intimacy is offered by Supreme Lord. But living entity tends to miss that clue. And searching for the intimacy is wandering here and there. So Durdaivam Idrisham, such high level of intimacy, such seven benedictions are offered, but I am so unfortunate, I am not able to access or approach. So after trying hard to conquer the Supreme Lord, to understand the Supreme Lord, to capture that relationship where you want the Supreme Lord to become your own, you want to become proprietor. One understands, Durdaiva Midrisham Iha Jani Nanu Raga. I cannot understand the Supreme Lord. And therefore, the next verse says, Trinadapi Suni Chena Taror Api Sahishuna. He starts reflecting on this verse, what this verse is all about. After trying to approach the Supreme Lord on his sensual platform by his mind, by his intelligence, he starts thinking how to approach the Supreme Lord. And as a result, the highly arrogant spirit soul in conditioned living entity in material world develops a deep respect to the principle of absolute truth. Trinad api sunichena. So its verse demands that extreme level of humility which arises from a helplessness or failure by one's own intellect. If you see this bhakti, it mentioned nirashisha. Nirashisha means free from, like yesterday Devamrita Prabhu so beautifully, of course I cannot relate to that nicely, but he was so beautifully telling that how, what is pure bhakti? It is free from bhukti, mukti and siddhi. It's so difficult for a conditioned soul to understand what this concept of pure bhakti is, which is so simple. As the other day I was saying, it was so simple, so sweet, so easy, but at the same time so deep and so grave that everyone tends to miss the clue what pure bhakti is all about. So therefore it is free from bhukti, mukti and siddhi. But these desires of bhukti, mukti and siddhi are so overwhelming that one is not able to understand what this pure bhakti is all about. And only after repeated frustrations in this process of Krishna consciousness, trying to access the mercy, when one develops that deep sense of respect to the principle of absolute truth, like the other day Gaurangpur was mentioning just day before on the appearance day of Shri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, about the principle of deep respect one develops to the principle of absolute truth, understanding how insignificant absolute truth means. Absolute truth, supreme personality of Godhead, his pure devotees, in fact all the living entities, one develops a deep, deep respect. Understanding that without their mercy, how can one access to this highly inconceivable absolute truth? So the inconceivable can become conceivable only when the mercy is showered, and only when one gives up trying to approach by his own personal attempt. When one depends fully on the mercy, when becomes highly respectful. Like I always quote this, Sakala Samana Korite Shakti. Deho nath jathaja tabe to gaibo hari nama sukhe aparad hoi be hat. If I do not get the strength to respect everyone, sakala samana korite shakti deho nath jat tabe to gaibo. Only if I am able to do that, I am able to tolerate, I am able to understand this conception, principle of humility, then I can access to the highly inconceivable mercy and nature of the Lord. So this concept. So otherwise bhakti, as it says, pure bhakti has to be free from bhukti, mukti and siddhi. Free from all fruitive desires, all desires of any material comforts. This bhakti should not also be challenged by jnana, which implies this surrender, this principle of surrender in pure bhakti, this principle of surrender unto the absolute truth, this principle of developing relationship with Guru and Krishna, should be free from any mundane logic, should be free from any challenge of mundane speculation, any mundane reasoning, any desire of material comforts. And then it should be free from yoga also, mystic yoga, mystic perfections. That is another thing. Any desire of social perfections should not challenge one's surrender, should not be an obstacle or impediment, as Prabhupada says, impediment. Should not be an impediment to something which helps one to develop a strong relation with Guru and Krishna. But unfortunately, conditioned souls so much in the passion and ignorance, it becomes difficult to access, difficult to understand, and misses the clue of what this pure bhakti is all about, how it has to be free from karma, jnana and yoga. So therefore, understanding this relationship, at least, I don't know, my small understanding is that after these prayers, one understands that how insignificant the living entity is, and how inconceivable and how difficult to approach the Supreme Lord is. But one thing, rest assured, that the Supreme Lord, the nature of Supreme Lord is full of supreme love and the most congenial form of intimacy which is offered to the spirit soul. And this is seen from the various pastimes. When Kunti Maharani prayers, Tvai me ananya vishaya matir madhu pate yaskrit, let my devotion flow like Ganges. And then what is that verse where she prays for? Vipada santuta shashvat. She prays for the miseries again and again so that her remembrance of Supreme Lord can be protected. Just imagine that verse indicates how much intimacy a spirit soul can have the Supreme Lord on the platform of pure devotional service. Ready to take any kind of miseries, but for that supreme intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord. So such is the beauty of the pastimes of this Srimad Bhagavatam, that they thoroughly wash away all the misconceptions about dharma is all about. And they motivate or provoke a living entity, a sincere, serious sadhaka who genuinely wants to approach the highest truth. It motivates to understand what real dharma is all about through these prayers. And try to get rid of all superficial conceptions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not understanding Him to be one of the ordinary conditioned souls with whom we want to develop relationship. So it takes long, long time to understand. We are all struggling, at least I am struggling, to understand how inconceivable Supreme Lord is and how significant the position of conditioned soul. And develop that deep sense of respect unto the Absolute Truth, free from all arrogance and egoism and all pride. Like Narad Muni's life he was studying, the life of Narad Muni in a nutshell, life of a sincere devotee. This beautiful verse. Namani anantasya hata tapapathan guhyani bhadrani kritani chasmaran. Narad Muni, after serving the great sages, after seeing the effect of time, after seeing all the variations of his life, he came to this realization. Namani anantasya hata tapapathan. Namani anantasya, the glories of the Supreme Lord's name and fame are unlimited. Namani anantasya, unlimited intimacy is offered there. Unlimited protection is offered there. Just like an infant completely feels protected on the lap of his mother. So unlimited protection, unlimited love is offered there. And hatatrapa, such a person, life of a sincere devotee, he takes to those unlimited glories and he ignores all the formalities of material world. Hatatrapa pathan. Pathan means he repeatedly recites, repeatedly studies and undergoes these scriptures, these beautiful prayers, these Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and purifies himself. What does he recite? Guhyani bhadrani kritani chasmaran. Guhyani. This most mysterious, this is one has to understand, they are mysterious. They cannot be revealed by one's own effort. One needs to take shelter of the principle of respect in the association of Vaishnavas. Guhyani bhadrani kritani chasmaran. And these pastimes are bhadrani, they are so auspicious. They can dispel all the inauspiciousness in the life of a conditioned, struggling, living entity. Guhyani bhadrani kritani. These activities are performed, chasmaran, remembering. And the last line also is very beautiful. It says, kalam pratikshan vimada vimatsara. Kalam pratikshan. Another thing which helps a person to develop respect to the principle of Absolute Truth. First thing is the inconceivable nature. Second thing is understand how insignificant we are. And another thing is kalam pratikshan, awaiting time. How can vimada vimatsara, free from all the envy and free from all the pride of one's qualification to go back to Godhead. How can one be pride and full of envy when one knows the effect of time? Time can humble anyone, can humiliate anyone. Just a small thought over this, that kalam pratikshan, awaiting time. If somebody knows the power of time, how can he be proud and envious? But after understanding all that, one would only say, durdaiva midrisham yaha janina anuraga. I still could not understand this principle. So these beautiful, wonderful, wonderful prayers. This shows the life. What is the life of a sincere devotee? Understanding his insignificance and understanding how mysterious the Supreme Lord is. Guhyani bhadrani. Although he is mysterious, but one thing I know. only thing which can create auspiciousness in my life is Namani Anantasya. Guyani Kritani. Patan, Smaran, remembering, reciting repeatedly with the principle of respect in the association of Vaishnavas, taking shelter of the unlimited name and fame of the Supreme Lord. That is the only thing which is auspicious and so beautiful to dispel all kind of arrogance, envy, pride, and give one entrance into this mystery. This mystery cannot be opened by any fees or any money or like in any college we do. But this mystery can be opened with the principle of respect, deep faith, and surrender. Free from fruitive desires, free from yoga, and free from jnana. Ahetuki apratihata. Anya bilashita shunyam. Jnana karma adi anavritam. Anukulena krishnanu. Sevanam bhaktir uchade. Such is the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Granthrashya Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.